Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the round table, I have the Sale Contingency. You are always welcome. I'm glad to have you all. Devin Doyle. Devin is a junior, and he is into soccer and computers.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Angel Adams. He's a senior. SGA, community service, theater, and music are his things.
Good afternoon.
Anna Campbell, senior, art, fashion, and volunteering.
Happy to be here.
And Ariana Richardson, she is also a senior, baking, dancing, and sleeping.
Yo.
So special welcome to you all. Really glad to have you. The American culture and identity are entwined in religious heritage. Religion shapes American society politically and culturally. Religion has long been entwined with American government, and God We Trust is stamped on our money. What about the First Amendment? Research shows that young Americans are dramatically less likely to go to church or to participate in any form of organized religion than their parents and grandparents. What role does religion play in your life? Religion remains diverse and fluid in the United States, and Americans are by far the most religious of any of the advanced industrialized countries. God's support has been invoked in all the areas of American enterprise, from slavery to war. What role does religion play in your life? And I'll start with you, Ariana, and we'll just move around the table.
Religion starts when my life is when I started, when I was born, actually. My grandma, she helps with the church. She's an evangelist. And so she always took me to church on Sundays. And then when I got into like high school, I pretty much stopped going to church. Not because I don't believe in Jesus or believe in the Holy Spirit. It's just that it gets boring.
Okay.
Yes. And I don't know why. I always go to sleep early on Saturday if I plan on going to church because then I can stay up. But the truth is, as a teenager, we are created to go to sleep.
Okay. All right. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I also grew up in a church, and I was baptized. I was confirmed. I'm still pretty active, but school, especially being a senior, you know, all those applications, those mountains of paperwork, they take up a lot of time, and you know, your weekends are then dedicated to staying up late on Saturdays and not a lot of social activity, and it doesn't leave a lot of room to go to church.
Now, what about you, Angel? Do you share their experiences, or are you coming from a different place?
I, too, have been raised being a Christian and going to church. I was baptized at the age of 9, and I stopped going to church, not because of it being boring or anything like that. I realized that some of the stuff that happened in church, I always didn't agree to, and you're always going to have that problem where you believe one thing and then other people believe another thing, and it's just like a battle of ideas, and I stopped from that.
Okay. All right. And Devin?
I didn't, like, super grow up around religion. I was baptized, but that was about it. I mean, my grandmother's very religious, but she didn't try and force any of it on me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's about it with religion. I've gone to church a couple of times, and that's it.
Do you make a distinction between religion and spirituality? And I ask that because lots of times people will say that. I'm spiritual, but I am not particularly into any organized religion. So I'm just wondering, and you're nodding your head, do you make that distinction? Share with me where you all sit on that whole position. Yeah. Feel free.
So I believe in spiritual like things like that. I believe there are things in this world that is questionable, that is not questioned by science. Mm-hmm. So I do believe in that. Religion-wise, I believe there are two different things. Because one is like believing there's a Holy Spirit, and another one is like saying, well, you don't know what's going on. Maybe there's like a ghost saying, I'm going to mess with you for a little while.
Okay. I mean, all right.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a distinction. I think religion is something that you're, you know, taught, mm-hmm. and something that has like guidelines and rules and, you know, things you have to follow. And I think spirituality comes from something within yourself where, you know, it's something that you're deciding. It's something that you're kind of making your own rules up for.
Okay.
And I would say, too, that religion and spirituality is very different. When I go to church, it's more, like what Ariana said, it's more taught and spiritual, it's more feeling and faith-wise. And I would say that, yes.
Okay. And I guess I could ask you about religion and spirituality, but, you know, Devin, I want to ask you about the separation of God and our church and state, and where do you sit on that? Okay.
I mean, I think it's kind of good to have that separation. Mm-hmm. I think if religion gets in the way of, you know, logically, you know, running a country is something that shouldn't be based off of what you believe. It should be based, you know, off of what you believe is the best decision. But you know what I mean.
I know, yeah.
So that's...
Because we were talking before we came on the program, we were talking about those individuals who are staunch religious, organized religious people, and they feel like it's their way or the highway. Do you all know who I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
It's their way or the highway. And I know this might step on some folks' toes, but if you are particularly religious and somebody else is not religious, it doesn't make one better than the other, because what we're talking about is a belief. And who's to say that because you believe and you question or don't believe mm-hmm. that one is right or not? Comments? I mean.
So, funny thing about this religion talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, me and my friends were talking because one of my friends is a Jew, mm-hmm. and I was asking her about her religion. And then for some reason, so we was talking, she was saying, yeah, I have to be careful about what I talk about my religion, because some people might take it to offense, like, no, you're wrong and you're always wrong, stuff like that. And then so me and her start joking, and I was like, is it kind of funny that what happened if, like, Jesus will send you to a pit of everlasting fire, but he still loves you?
Right. Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You look like you wanted to say something. Yeah. Go right ahead. Feel free.
I would say that there's many... In Christianity, there's many different variations of Christianity, mm-hmm. like Baptist, Evangel, all these different stuff. And I would say that we all believe in the same God, but when it comes down to, like, many different singular stuff within, like
nitpicky.
Yeah, nitpicky.
Mm-hmm.
It just variants and, like, everything goes wrong.
How do you all feel about prayer in school? I mean, because we're talking about separation, you know, how do you, and, you know, I'd like to hear from Molly, how do you feel about prayer in school? Well, I'm looking at you, Anna, so you're in the hot seat.
I have quite a few friends that, you know, don't necessarily practice the same things I do. Mm-hmm. I also have friends who don't practice anything. So I think forcing prayer into schools is kind of blending that church and state line because, you know, you're starting to blend into something that you have a number of different ideas and number of different opinions. And I think it can get really messy really quickly because, you know, if you're forcing someone who maybe atheist to pray, you know, you're not going to have happy parents, and you're also not going to have happy politicians, and then it starts to get really jumbled and mixed up.
Okay.
So I was raised, like, from Christian family, but I was also raised in Christian schools. So before I went to high school, I went to all these Christian schools because, okay. you know, family. And, we have to pray, or we'll say, like, the holy, like, Pledge of Allegiance of the Bible and stuff like that. But at the same time, there's people, like kids, who realize they're questioning about God's belief. Mm-hmm. And so when they pray, they don't feel comfortable praying because their parents are forcing this religion
right.
on them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Other comments?
I would say that praying in school, I agree with prayer in school, but I do not agree with like forced prayer.
Okay.
But I would say if you have a religion and you pray a certain way and you want to do it at school, then you should be able to.
Okay. I see you nodding your head. Where do you sit on this thing?
I mean, yeah, I think if you want to pray at school, go ahead. But, you know, I was thinking about forcing kids to prayer, and if you bring that to an elementary level, you know, kids are really easy to manipulate, really easy to make them believe something at an elementary level. So potentially you're looking at a certain belief forced onto a kid. And, you know, that kid doesn't have any other opinions. That kid has not been exposed to anything else. So what are they going to believe, you know, the thing that they got taught?
Right. And then that religion follows them through school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about it, like, we're always taught, you know, Ariana said, and I also, you know, we were baptized. And then from there, we were kind of forced to go to church on Sundays until we were just kind of like, this is what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you never know, like,
and
how much
and
that's
what about
influence.
That person, like you were saying, Devin, what about the person who's an atheist or who's an agnostic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we take their beliefs or their non-beliefs, whichever way you want to look at it, into consideration? I mean, because their beliefs should be weighted the same as those who do believe.
Like, how do we respect all of it while still trying to put it into schools? Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm asking you all. What do you do? How do you handle that? I mean, do you all have prayer in school?
We don't have prayer in our school.
Okay.
No.
Okay. You know, even though I know you're not to have prayer in school, some schools do have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, even when you pledge the allegiance. Okay. So that's why I'm asking that. And we're going to take a break, but let me just share this with you. What I want to look at when we come back is looking at morals. You know, what is right and wrong, and looking at the role that religion or non-religion may play as far as establishing, you know, moral conduct. Okay? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holifield, and I'm talking with students from Sale High School. We are going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, again, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour we are exploring the role of religion in one's life today. Joining me are students. I have the Sale contingency. Again, I welcome Ariana Richardson, Anna Campbell, Angel Adams, and Devin Doyle. And before we went on break, we were just going to talk about morals, how we establish morals, and what role religion plays in our moral foundation. So I throw that out there. And, you know, I'm looking at you, Angel. So we'll start with you.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, I guess, you know, the question is, how do you establish, where do your morals, what was influential in establishing what's right and what's wrong? Okay. And did religion play a role in that?
I would say definitely religion played a role in my morals.
Okay.
When you're growing up and there's nothing else to really turn to or to look to besides other people and your family members, I was baptized and I was raised in the church system and I grew up on all the church stories and stuff like David mm-hmm. and Goliath and all that stuff. And it really helped me distinguish what was right between what was wrong. But I will say that you shouldn't let religion be the deciding factors in your morals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I remember when I was in Sunday school, and I remember heckling the Sunday school teacher because, you know, we were reading something, and it was totally different than what my parents had told me. You know, something like, you know, you can't just you know, you can't just get ready for something and think you'll be perfect at it. You have to practice at it. And it was something to the extent of David and Goliath. And I think that I never really pulled my morals from the church. I always pulled my morals from my grandparents and my parents. So.
Okay. All right.
You look like you're in deep thought.
Well, when I think about it, church really did help me push my morals. But it's mostly when I hang out with friends or, like, talk with my family that I can see which one is right and which one is wrong. Like, oh, even common sense. Common sense helped me with my morals because, like, we think about, like, oh, this is wrong because I shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, mm-hmm. like, I never really leaned into my religion for, like, creating me and my morals. But it did help me a little bit.
Okay. So so what I hear you saying is it did have some of an influence, but it didn't totally influence or determine where you're going to sit with determining, you know, acceptable, unacceptable, right or wrong.
Yes.
How'd your morals evolve?
I mean, there's a little bit of church, but not a ton. A lot of my morals I kind of learned from my grandmother and such, and kind of seeing people do bad things and seeing, like, the consequences of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I could definitely see why someone would take morals from a church.
Mm-hmm.
And why, you know.
Although, when you think about it, there's a lot of hypocrisy there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yes.
And if you can become very confused as far as what is acceptable moral behavior. Your moral compass can kind of sway back and forth if you use organized religion or the church or the behavior of individuals in the church. You all elaborate on that.
I think it comes from you need to take a grain of salt with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just blindly accept, like, these are my morals now. Like, mm-hmm. going forward, I'm going to obey all of these rules. You kind of, you adapt, you improvise. You know, as you move forward, you're ever-changing. So your ideas should be ever-changing, and you shouldn't just stick to one set.
So you're talking about you should evolve and adapt to the environment or the milieu or wherever you are.
Because taking one set of morals and, like, saying, like, these are mine for the rest of life, yes, you can do that. But I think life experiences also have an impact. Mm-hmm. So your morals from when you were 10 shouldn't. They can be the same, but they wouldn't all be the same by the time you're 25.
Well, you could have some basics about how you treat people, how you interact with people.
But your views and your, you know, as you grow up and become more worldly, you're gonna change your point of view on a couple of things.
And that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You agree with that, Devin? What do you think?
I mean, yeah.
Do you feel like moral development, and this is to all of you, okay? But do you feel like moral development evolves? Does it change what you think is wrong or unacceptable? Do you see some changes in that? I mean, that's in essence, that's what I'm saying to you. That's another way of what I'm asking. So, what do you think, Angel?
I would agree with Anna. Like, as a child, most of your views are, like, black and white, and you're, like, taught it, like, in this black and white viewpoint. But as you grow older, it's more like a grayscale. And everything isn't so clearly defined, like morals, like good and bad. They're kind of just like a fine line between each other, because you can easily view something as good one way and then bad the next way. Like, an example, I would say, like, someone is stealing, but it's for themselves to, like, have food to eat because they're not available, available to them. And I would say that you can't look at something on, like, paper and expect it to be black and white.
And that's an excellent example, I think, you know, because, yeah, it's stealing, but what about the circumstances? You know, it might be, I mean, in a devastating situation. Yeah. There may have been even a hurricane, okay? And you lost all your food. And there's a storefront there. What do you say to that? Now, how do you handle that? Is that wrong? I mean, is it? I'm asking you all, is that wrong?
I kind of think so. I mean, you're stealing someone's, you know, you're stealing their food, their profit, and it's like, yeah, you know, you want to eat, but I don't know, it's just, it's not yours. So.
Now, that's a good point. That's a good point. It's not yours.
But people were made to survive. And to survive, you need basic things like food and water when you don't have it available to you.
Yeah, but...
And what do you do? I mean, say you're a parent. You got a child, little kid, 2 or 3. I mean, it gets tricky and difficult. You know, a little kid, 2 or 3 years old.
It's not black and white.
It's exactly. That's exactly what we're saying.
What's funny is that you're talking about black and white. There's a song by Todrick Hall. If you ever listen to him, he's a songwriter. Mm-hmm. And he was singing a song by black and white. And he was talking about, like, black and white situations that you can't see. Actually, it's called color. Mm-hmm. And then until you add a little coloring to it. So it's like, it's like a kaleidoscope. Everything black and white until I see the light. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, like, gay rights. But for right now, it's the religion and, like, morals. And it's true. You don't know really the whole story. Like, if you see somebody, like, come in the store and you see them stealing things, and it's like, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. And you try to chase them afterwards. And, like, they're in the... like in the alley, and then you see what that person was doing. They were just feeding their little baby. Like, oh, well, now I feel like a bad person. And then you take out your wallet and put the money on put the money in the cash register to replace whatever she stole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, and I think you really encapsulated it when you said it's just not black and white. You know, it's not that simple. Yet, when we talk about religion, we think about religion, it often... is the cause of a lot of wars, okay? In the name of the Lord, you know. Now, something's wrong here. You're going to have religious wars? Kind of sounds like an oxymoron to me. I mean, somewhat, it does, you know? So how do we address that? Because that seems like hypocrisy. Yes, go right ahead.
You ever heard of, like WWE? JD, what would Jesus do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They should have had some of that in the old days. Because you know how, like, they fight over religion? They'd be like, what would Jesus do? You right. I'm going to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, people should be, like, thinking about that. And it's messed up that people have those little things and say, oh, I know what Jesus will do, but I'm still going to fight because that person believes in something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. If you believe in Jesus, then you should believe in Jesus your own terms. If someone else believes in another religion, don't force it on them.
Right.
Never force nothing on it because people's just going to regurgitate back out and throw it right in your face.
How do you all feel about those folks who go around and solicit membership in their religious sect? I think about... Jehovah Witness. I mean, those who come to your doors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Though, what's your position on that? How do you feel about that? Yes, Anna. What do you think? I mean, because that
on one hand, on one hand, I understand. I understand what's happening, and you know, I understand that is it's taught. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the many things that they're taught to do. On the other hand, I feel like your religion should speak for yourself. You shouldn't have to go out and advertise for your religion. I also think that's almost in a way, like the soliciting is almost, it's almost unfair in a sense. Because I do think that your religion should speak for yourself, and I also think that you should have, like, the right to choose your religion under no pressure. And I think two people standing at your door with literature and a Bible, I think that's putting you under pressure to say yes to something you might not necessarily want to say yes to. But I also think that goes not only for Jehovah's Witnesses, but for people who... you know, are trying to get you to convert or trying to get you to believe something or arguing with you. I think that your religion should speak for yourself, and you shouldn't have to stand on a soapbox and advertise it to the rest of the world.
Okay. I saw you nodding your head. Did you have some comments on that?
I'm kind of in between. I agree with what Anna said, but I would say it's kind of harmless in a sense to go around to people's doors and talk about it.
It depends on the person.
It depends. It's not black and white. Yeah. It depends on circumstances and people, yeah.
What do you think, Deb?
I mean, yeah, I agree mostly with what Anna said. I mean, I think if you are, like, forcing people to believe what, you know, what you want them to believe, that's kind of, like, gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And, yeah, everyone, if somebody really wants to be a Jehovah's Witness, that should be because they wanted to be a Jehovah's Witness. They really should not be forcing other people to believe in them. Mm-hmm. I think it's wrong.
You know, there's, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say, there's a difference between, like, forcing somebody and, like, telling them. Like, if someone's telling me something, I'd be like, oh, that sounds cool, maybe I should try it. Mm-hmm. But if you're forcing me, telling me, you should do this, only this, you should follow this religion.
But that's what they say.
And I'd be like, that is too much. You need to, like, space, like,
yeah. Okay. Well, there's several states that officially prohibit atheists from holding public office. Or should I say, they still have language in their state constitution forbidding people who do not believe in God from holding any public office. I mean, some of these were like Arkansas and Mississippi, and, you know, there are several states. I say this because we're talking about separation of church and state, yet, what is this? What does this amount to?
It's blending. It's no separation.
It's blending that doesn't want to be blend.
Mm-hmm.
Things that don't want to be blend. I feel like is the law, did they change it to like that? Or it was,
no,
it was
this,
just like
that? It's been like that. Yeah, it's been like that. Okay, and they haven't adapted.
Maybe it's like, I'm not saying I don't want to force them because that would just... That's what we pretty much talk about, is forcing people to believe or something. I'm not saying I'm forcing them to change the law, but I'm saying they should think about it.
Well, but listen, let's think about this a little bit more, because we're talking about states now, okay, and that are saying, if you don't believe, okay, then you cannot hold public office.
I think that this almost, you can almost parallel this to being gay, because it's, if you just swap it out, would anyone ever be okay with something being in a state constitution that says you cannot hold public office if you're gay?
Mm-hmm.
If you, like, if that statement makes your stomach turn a little bit, then, you know, someone, that's a choice, just like someone's religion is a choice.
No, wait. Being gay
is
not a choice.
That's true.
Okay.
I'm saying that religion is a choice.
Oh,
and it's not it's two things that a person defines himself as.
Okay.
And if I define myself as gay, why can't I hold public office? If I define myself as atheist, why? Mm-hmm. What effect does that have on my decision-making process?
Right. Being able to perform the duties and responsibilities of the job that you may have, okay? Now, and I'll get to you in 1 minute, Ariane. Sure, if it prohibits you from performing your job, that's one thing. But I don't see how that does. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Ariane. Yes. I agree with her. It's just like, you know, saying... if I was atheist and I wanted to run for office in one of these states, and they tell me I can't because I'm an atheist, I'm going to say it does not block the way I think about how this can help people in this state.
Exactly.
Like, that doesn't have to do with political party. It doesn't have to do with anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, atheists have pressed legal challenges against, for example, the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance, because in it, it does have under God, okay? And that under God, it violates the Constitution's guarantee of freedom of religion, right? I mean, when you're saying under God. So, you know, most schools allow, I think, students to opt out of that. What's your position on that?
I mean, if people want to opt out on it, then they can.
Okay.
I mean, like,
you feel that?
They shouldn't do, like, I'm, like, if I didn't want to stay under God, I don't want to be like, okay, I don't want to stay under God. I'm just going to, like, I don't want to do this. I'm just going to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, some other places, they'll force them to say the Pledge of Allegiance even though they don't want to do it.
I think that if they're opting out of it, they need to make sure that the children aren't penalized. Because I know that some teachers are very, very strict on saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. I know that my elementary school was, you know, everyone was standing up, hand on their heart, saying it out loud. And I think that I know that a couple of kids had decided not to when we were older. And they were penalized for it.
Oh, really?
They were penalized. This was a public school. And so, you know, I think that that needs to be monitored. If kids are choosing or allowed to choose not to do this, it should, they should not be penalized for their choice.
Okay. Well, how far should private companies go to accommodate religious beliefs of their employees? I'm not expecting you to answer this now. You're tuned in to 411 Team. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, this is an issue that we will address.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Team, and I have sales students who are joining me this hour, and we are just kind of exploring and examining the role of religion. Before we went on break, I posed a question to you, and I asked you how far should private companies go to accommodate religious beliefs of their employees. What's your position? I'd like to hear from all of you. What do you think? Should they accommodate their employees as far as their religious positions or not?
I don't think it matters that much. I mean, you know, there's a difference between if, like Chick-fil-A, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of Chick-fil-A is a very Christian man. I think he is homophobic. I don't remember. He is, right? Yeah, he is. And, you know, he's the head of the company. But, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of Chick-fil-A's that will still accept members that are Jewish and atheist because it doesn't matter.
Okay.
If you can work at a Chick-fil-A, it's fine. And so I don't think there needs to really be any steps to accommodate, you know, religion in the workplace,
all
in
right,
private companies.
Well, and let me throw this out there. For example, what's up? Abercrombie and Fitch, this was a little while back, refused to hire someone, I think because she wore, what is it?
A burqa.
Uh-huh, right. And that is, you know, refusing because of dress and religion. Mm-hmm. Where do you all sit on something like that? How do you feel about that?
Jeez.
I mean, you know, it really does make you think because
yeah,
at some point you think, well, you know, it's really pretty easy. No, but then here you have, I mean, would it influence you how somebody was dressed or if they had on religious garb, if they could wait on you?
It wouldn't influence me.
If they can get the job done, then that shouldn't really.
Okay.
I think
I would say that rules should be in place to accommodate religious workers, because you always have people who would follow the rules so precisely that they wouldn't hire anybody because it wasn't listed as a rule. And I think that rules are in place for a reason, and it should be set for people like her,
mm-hmm. okay.
who are hiring, trying okay. to get a job.
What role does religion play, or should religion play, in political campaigns? I just thought of that. I was looking at this, and then I thought, well, you know, if we're talking about religion and church and state, then we have campaigns. Now, can religion play a role in your political campaign? Oh. Should it play a role? Okay?
I think it always plays a role. Mm-hmm. Always. But it shouldn't. It should not. I mean, you're welcome to donate to someone based on their views, and if you are donating because they are Christian and you are Christian, that's okay too. But a candidate should not be using religion as a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Something. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, if someone's running for like president and they're talking about religion, you're going after a certain religion for that person's
group.
Vote.
Mm-hmm.
But what running for that thing is trying to get everyone's point to it. So I feel like you really shouldn't put religion while you're like doing things like that, because you want to get everyone's vote mm-hmm. from it.
Because you're also, in claiming a religion, you're also kind of not discrediting, but kind of not acknowledging other religions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can claim that I'm running on a Jewish platform, but then I'm not really, then I'm kind of boxing myself in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not leaving myself open to new people and new opportunities. So
maybe you don't want to.
And that's your choice.
You know, that might be that maybe you really don't want to. As we look at religion and we think about the religious leaders that are in the forefront, I mean, like the Pope, for example, how much are your views shaped by religious icons? And I just wonder, are you influenced by them? Does that make a difference at all?
Is it bad that I figure out who the new Pope guy is? I literally did. Ariana, so what about the Pope? I said, oh yeah, I love that guy. I forgot the other person's name. He said, you know, it's a new Pope. There's new Popes?
Yeah.
I thought they just like stay up there and just don't move and stay in a box. That's all I remember. Because you know they have the little box in the car.
Right.
I was like, that's all I remember. So icons for me, like religion icons, don't really influence me like that, because I'm mostly clueless around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll follow an icon because they are great in the community okay. or things like that.
Okay.
So there's not really an icon within, like, the Presbyterian community, but I have a pastor that I really like named Roger Nishioka. He's great. He's just an amazing speaker. But I don't think that I would base my view. We share views, but I don't think that if he had a different view than I, that I would base my or change my views based on what he said, just because I feel like I am my okay. own independent person.
I would have to say I don't really have any religious icons. It's more so like my pastor, and that's it. Okay. Nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, I've met pastors that I respect and that are great speakers and that are really nice people, but I don't have any big
mm-hmm. okay.
religious people.
God is often referred to in American rhetoric. Are we making a mockery of religion when we use it so cavalierly to justify our support and behavior?
What does rhetoric mean?
Yeah. Are we just, you know, kind of just doing it when we want to, if we call use God bless you, I mean, God be with you, all the time, okay? We see it in rhetoric. And I want to thank God. You know, them people don't even believe in God. And I'm just saying, are we making a mockery of it? We use it very cavalierly, just very loosely, you know.
What's funny is I went to this Christian summer camp, and every time they ask you if you were good, this is how they say it. Be like, God is good all the time. I taught him God is good. Yes. To someone, I say that to someone else because it was just so, like, in me. That person says, why? And I was like, what? He said, why? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. That's what they said. So I say it now. And then I stopped saying it because then I realized, why do I say these things? Why? Because it's just like other people say it. So it is stuck in your mind.
It's almost coming back from that, like, early elementary. You're taught it, so you repeat it. Yeah. Yes.
But then, go ahead.
I would say when I say God bless you or just bless you in general, I don't say it from a point of, like, being taught. It comes from a genuine place of, like, actually concerning from the person. And I wouldn't mind if anyone from any different backgrounds for wherever religion they send for, whatever God they believe in, if they come from a genuine place that genuinely concerns for me, blessing me if I'm, like, sneezing or something, then I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
I don't think it's being mockery.
Yeah. As long as they believe in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know.
Not, like.
Making
like,
fun of it.
And making, yeah, as long as you're not making a joke out of it.
Yes.
You know, I say, oh, my God, all the time. Because it's just, it's something I say. It's an expression that I've heard plenty of other people say. So, you know, I don't mean to make fun of anybody, obviously. But for me, if I ever say, God bless you, or, you know, oh, my God, it's just
just a statement. Yeah, go right ahead.
Funny story. No, it's not even funny. It's like funny to me, but I don't know how y'all gonna react to it.
Okay.
So one time, someone sneezed right next to me, and I said, God bless you. And they was like, I'm not religious. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I just said it just to say it. Mm-hmm. And then he got upset and then walked away. And then I sat there for a second. And I said, you got up. I realized, I said, oh, well, he's religious. So he's not religious. So it makes sense when I say God bless you, he might take offense. But he was over dramatic. Like, I'm not religious. And then walked away.
But I could understand that.
And there's other people be like, oh, okay, cool. They don't mind it because they don't really care.
But if you really don't, you know, ascribe to the whole religious God bless you thing, and it could be offensive.
Yes.
I mean, do you all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No,
I do. I do. I understand because I do have friends that are not religious and, you know, talking or even in, like, your youth group within our church is a social event. It's not necessarily sitting and praying. So inviting someone to youth group for me is like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I got to go do this anyway. You want to come with me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's not meant to be a pressure thing, but they get very antsy around the idea of having to be in a church or be around people who go to church, which is understandable. It's their level of comfortable. And I know that if I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable going into a Catholic church or a synagogue because I don't know what goes on and I don't know how to act and, you know, all that great stuff. So I wouldn't necessarily be offended if they said no or if they were like, yo, don't talk to me about that again. I don't like that stuff. But I can understand where it comes from, the discomfort.
I feel like the same rules apply when you, like, assume somebody's gender. You remember, like, they had a whole, like, argument about that?
Mm-hmm.
You should at least tell me, like, if I'm at a random stranger and I said, like, God bless you, and be like, I'm not religious, and then get upset, I say, you could have just told me that, like, calmly, because I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you believe in.
But the response could be, you don't know who I am, so therefore, don't say it. You're being insensitive to me. You may not know where I'm coming from, so maybe just don't say it at all.
Yes.
So you don't risk that.
But that's so. I
don't know.
I don't think I should have to censor myself because of something, you know.
But don't say it to me. I mean, you can say it. I'm just throwing this out there. But you can say it. But don't say, God bless you. Okay.
Well, then who do I, how many people don't like God bless you? So then who
there am might I? Be a lot of people.
It's raised to be polite. And when you say God bless you, that's a reason saying polite when you sneeze. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, I don't even say God bless you number. I just say bless you.
What's funny is I know people who, like, won't, like, say God bless you after a sneeze because, like, they don't want to be insensitive. And then in my head, I'm like, man, you're rude. I just sneezed right next to you, and you're not saying anything to me.
You can't win.
You yeah. can't win. No. Like in a relationship, just like relationship, no one can win in a situation when you're fighting and both of y'all on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm sorry. I was like, you're not sorry. It's like, well, I don't know what to do now. So I'm just going to be in my corner and eat some Cheetos. That's what I'm going to do.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I think it opens our eyes to make us more sensitive and aware that it's not as cut and dry as it is presented, okay? And that even though religion is a choice, well, usually, I mean, I know
hopefully,
you know, it is a choice, and we make that choice. Others may choose not to, and that's the big issue there. Those who choose not to believe are those who believe different. How do you feel in these last few minutes about individuals who believe differently than you do? Do you feel that you could have a relationship with them? And I mean a friendship. Do you feel that you could have a bonding? Because I am totally different than you. And they say birds of a feather. I mean, really. Yeah.
Like, my grandmother's super religious, but I'm not really. You know, that's my family. I'm not.
But that's family.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Even with friends, I've got super religious friends. I've got friends that absolutely hate religion, but they're my friends. You know, they're people. They have opinions. I've got no reason to hold anything against them.
So. I love people with different religions because then I can learn about their religion. Like I want to meet a friend who's like Buddhist because then I want to learn about the religion. I can't pronounce it for the life of me. Mm-hmm. And it's a great new experience to open your eyes, to widen your horizon about different religions or different races and things like that. Like literally a week ago, not religion, race-wise, I found out there's an African Latina who's African Latina. I was like, oh, this is a cool thing. Yeah. So you might learn plenty new of things them. When you walk outside. I have a friend who's Jewish, and he told me everything about Judaism. Well, we had a few-minute conversation, and I was very curious about it, so I keep researching about it. And when I went to this, like, Stone Age store that serves, like, aerobics and stuff like that, I found this little Buddhist guy. And it's like, you put a diamond in there. So now every time I go in there, I do a little corner in there. I'd be like, oh, I don't want bad luck, so I'm going to put a little quarter right here and walk away. And it makes me want to learn about more about Buddhism. So
you have no problem with people who are really just coming from a different perspective than you are.
Because it's a new page in a new book.
Well, what about those who come from a perspective that you may find, I don't want to have anything to do with black folks?
Well, then don't talk to me.
Okay.
That's how you believe it, and you don't want to talk to me, I'm cool with it. If that's what you sternly believe.
Mm-hmm. And they have a right to believe that, to feel that way.
But if they want to willing to change, or like, they want to talk to me, even though my color is different, I'll be like, cool, let's do it. Because I'm going to be the exact same person. I'm just a little bit more crazy. Not even my race has to do with anything. I'm just excited.
I have friends all different everything. So, you know, religion is something that isn't necessarily something that I consider when I'm like, are you going to be my friend or not? Yeah. It's more of like, are you okay with like not eating tree nuts around me because I'm allergic to them? Are you okay with like, you know, me wearing pants to all like formal functions? Like, you know, stuff like that. It's not necessarily based on religion. I do find it hard to be friends with people who don't believe in gay rights because that's something that is a core value of mine. I think that everyone is equal. I don't think I have any friends that don't believe in that.
Thomas, Angel, like, quit.
Okay, sorry. I would say that we who are we to judge who okay. we befriend? And we all bleed the same color, and we all come from different walks of life. And I'm upset. I'm accepting okay. of everybody.
Devin?
Oh, yeah. Real quickly. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's it. Very quickly. But I want to say thank you to my sale contingency. I always welcome having you because I like you to share your perspectives. To my listening audience, thank you again for your ear and your time. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.